Mohi.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wow, what a great audience. Weren't they too much?
They were really out of sight. I bet we could have stayed out there taking bows all night.
Danny, there's more to life than taking bows.
Not when you're an egomaniac with grease paint in your blood.
It's not grease paint anymore. It's pancake. And it's not in your blood. As a matter of fact, most of it's on the front of your shirt.
Showing you're talented, who needs to be neat?
The Don and Mike Show. It is the sacred day. The day for Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Right in the middle of a... Hi, Buzz. Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you. Hi.
Mike's still outside. He's going to come back in here so we can talk to my fave rave, David Cassidy.
Right.
And then I think we're going to do a break called Porch Sitting. Mike, come inside. Come inside. David Cassidy's on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please.
I was going to play.
We have company.
Come inside.
I was going to hide somewhere in the building and try to have you guess where I was.
We're going
to
do the next segment outside.
So sorry.
Something called Porch Sitting.
Been here the whole time.
There he is. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
There you go.
How's it going?
Okay, now.
Or so.
Welcome.
Welcome. Let me put my regular headphones up. Do we have David Cassidy on the phone now?
On the phone right now. Hey, David.
Hey.
Nice to talk to you. We were talking. You must do so many of these interviews. We must be like every goddamn frickin' frack to you. But I don't know if we've...
No, I wasn't thinking frickin' frack.
But I don't know if we've ever had the opportunity.
I did hear... I hadn't heard a thing, except for about 5 seconds I heard Danny say, not if you're an egomaniac like Keith or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was one of our
partners. That's all I heard.
One of our partners.
Evidently, you were playing some of my early work.
Yeah, now, we have never had you. I don't think we've ever talked to David.
Yes, I think we've had David. I think David Cassidy has been on the show before.
I think I have, too.
David Cassidy may have. Has he been in the studio
maybe
with us?
Maybe when we had a morning zoo.
Back when we did
I probably slurped him then. Anyway,
that's right.
You're a good guy, David Cassidy, because you've not fallen down that slippery slope that others have. We won't mention their names, but we have not. You got a new record out that we're going to push, and gosh, you got a book out, and you got a huge, huge schlong. Really, now this is true. Listen to this.
Well, it's as big in the world
from David Cassidy's book.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
The Legend of Donk. That's what he calls his.
That's
thing.
The name of your book.
Donk is the nickname for
Donk.
His.
Donk?
D-O-N-K.
It's a nickname my brother Sean came up with.
It sounds like something that would have been created by young people.
According to his book.
It's a loving, brotherly, I call him Zig. He calls me Donk. We call Patrick Pump. He spends most of his time in the gym.
Listen.
The rest goes... unnoticed. But have I told you I have a new CD out at Target?
Yes, hold on. I promise.
It's called Part 2, the remix.
We're going to go through these cuts. Can I just read from your book? In David's autobiography, he says, quote, the first time I met
Gina... What's the title of that biography, by the way?
Yeah, you've got to plug his book if you
could
want
to read.
Could it be forever?
David, I promise, we'll plug.
We're going to plug everything.
You guys are in Washington, more or less, aren't you?
Well, a little more than less.
these days, yeah. And
I have not seen you probably in, I'm going to say, how long ago did they blow up the zoos, those morning zoos?
Oh, that was about 15 years ago,
I was thinking that.
Yeah, that's
I
when
I think when Lying to Myself was out, I came through and we zooed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was slushy or something.
Some zoo fun.
Did we send you across the street to the 7-Eleven?
I think you did, yeah.
See, that's really how we date it, because we did that with a lot of people.
Yeah, I understand.
And I know that back then we could not have said on the radio that in his new book, David Cassidy says, the first time I met Gina Lola Brigida, she looked me up and down and said, I hear you're a monster. I want to meet the monster.
Wow.
I decided if I had it, there wasn't any point in keeping it in the holster all the time.
Mm-hmm. And this was with Gina Lola Brigida?
Right, I was referring to my guitar, of course.
No, you weren't. You were talking about your donk.
You know,
your big old
she
donk.
She was doing a book on famous men, and I was actually in her book. She took a bunch of photographs, and when I played Melbourne Cricket Grounds, it was in Australia, after we did some photographs, she said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, I'm playing the Melbourne Cricket Grounds. Would you like to come? So she came in, and we were in the, like, where the football cricketers are. And I invited her to come out in the center of Melbourne Cricket Grounds in front of, like, 70,000 people. And she introduced me. And this stunned crowd who, at the time, most of them, the average age was probably 13 or 14.
Oh, no.
I'd never heard of her. Had no idea who she was.
And did she say anything?
Probably most of the audience that are listening to us today.
Did she reference any part of you when she introduced you?
No, no.
Oh,
she
thank
just
God.
Said, here's the monster. And
here's the monster.
Well, now that you've shared that with us. Now that you've shared
anyway,
that with us.
Let's not digress.
All right, let's listen. You're a good man. Thank you for sharing that with us. I want to say this book is going to be I read your book is going to be released in England.
It's actually out this week in the UK. It's coming out in Australia and Canada next month, and it's available on Amazon.uk, I think.
Beautiful.
And it will be out in the States probably in either in the summer or in the fall.
Is there a reason you release it first in
no,
the UK?
No, it's just the deal that we made was with Headline Books, who did Hillary Clinton's book, and they've done some great major people's autobiographies, and they're there in the UK, and as usually happens, it's released not simultaneously around the world, especially if you're not, like, a well-known author.
But you are, David. Once the word of Donk gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Donk? Donk. Oh, Donk.
Well, my brother Sean and my most of my family, I'm known as Uncle Donk.
Uncle Donk.
Uncle Donk.
Yes, it's Father Time. Anyway,
let's move on to the happy part.
I told you I have a new CD out.
Yes, I've got it here. Now I'm going to slurp you about the CD.
Have you listened to it? Have you heard it?
Yes, I have. And here's the...
Play a little clip of it so they know what we're talking about.
Trust me, I will.
Sure we will. But let's talk about your book.
We're talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to play some of your CD. We are.
David, we have plenty of time. Oh, okay, do we have to prove it? Do we have to play the CD first?
Would you like us to play the CD first before we ask you any other questions?
I believe I've been on the morning zoo, and I believe don't worry,
dude.
David. We'd be happy to play
here. Dude, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
David, we are. You need to trust us.
We are really past the morning zoo thing. I mean, we are so far past all that crap. Really, what I was going to say about the Partridge Family is that what a lot of people don't know about the Partridge Family was that it was David Cassidy with, in my humble opinion back in the day, the best studio musicians that were in Hollywood.
I believe they were the best studio musicians in the world, and I still think they are. Al Blaine probably played on more hits, who was our leader and our drummer. Larry Carlton was my guitar player. Jim Gordon from Derek and the Dominoes sometimes played drums. It's a phenomenal band. Some of the greatest players of all time. And
so I was going to lead into, before you thought we were going on a morning zoo thing and played your record, that your new album is different versions of your take on a lot of the Partridge Family songs. A lot of the Partridge Family songs I love, like I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
Yep.
I'll Meet You Halfway. And then you have like the Andy Kim song, Rock Me Baby.
No, it's not that's the David Cassidy, the title of.
Excuse
not
me,
Andy Kim.
That would be well.
Rock Me Baby is my version. It's definitely a single.
I'm sorry. Well, okay. If I said Cherish by the Association, I know that you also did a version of Cherish that was out on Bell Records.
That's correct.
I know
that.
That
was my first solo album.
Okay. If I referenced it as a song by the Association, I would simply be saying it was a song by the Association redone by David Cassidy, who I guess has a bigger inferiority and complex than I do. So let's play a cut.
All right, we're going to play. Can we play? What's that first one you mentioned? I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
All right.
Can I hear that one?
I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
Right.
Cut number one, two. God damn, where are my glasses? I'm not kidding you this time. I am not kidding you this time.
Rob, do you know which cut that is? Six.
Three, four, five, six.
Cut six.
David Cassidy. Wait, you thought we were going to dick around with you, right, David?
Last night, I turned out the lights laid down and thought about you. I thought about the way that it could be. 5 o'clock, wondering what I'm doing here alone without you. I close my eyes and dream you're here to me.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
I woke up in love this morning. I woke up in love this morning. Went to sleep.
See? See?
Little, yeah.
David, little techno influence there?
Well, you know, it's produced by Craig J., who's done Mariah Carey and a bunch of contemporary stuff. He also did that that enormous hit that Cher had a couple years ago.
Believe,
I think.
Do you believe in love?
Believe in love.
Yeah.
See, David, we're not goofing you. Here's another good one to hear of this album. If you remember the theme song to the Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, get happy.
Come on.
Come on, buddy. Get happy with the donk. You're listening to the Donkster.
Hello, world. Song I'm singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We make you happy. We got a dream. We go shout together. We trade a little loving and we keep
it. Da da da. You like that one?
Yeah. I love all of them.
What is your favorite? You must have a favorite. I know you hate to answer that.
Yeah. I would not have gone in and re-recorded and re-sung all of them if I didn't love them. And I'm really proud of the fact that not only did we sell over 25 million records, but millions of people all over the world have enjoyed the fact that the Partridge Family has carried on and is on TV Land and Nick at Night and all the rest of it. And I think people's misconception about me and my take on it was after I finished it, I just didn't want to do it again. So people thought, I guess, he obviously doesn't like it or didn't. I loved it. I loved the people I worked with.
But was there a time in your life, really, where you said, okay, I've got to really totally embrace the past and
I
realize
did.
You did. You know, okay, because there's been a lot written and a lot said that would indicate otherwise.
What about when you were on Rolling Stone, dude?
What about it?
You were so anti-Keith Partridge.
Yeah, but it was just me. I was 23 playing 16, and there was an enormous difference.
I mean, David, that's how queer I am.
When I was 16, I went and saw the Velvet Underground and B.B. King and the Doors, and, I saw Hendrix 5 times.
See, dude, the rap on you back then was, as being a layperson, someone who was just watching you on TV and listening to records and then getting into radio, was that the David Cassidy back then was not happy being put in this box as Keith Partridge, and you desperately wanted to rock out, and there were stories that you would be pissed off before you could have to go on stage and sing your songs.
No, never pissed off. Never pissed off. You know, that's, again, something that can be twisted when you say, I really don't want to do this as a 24-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 35-year-old. I want to be able to do other work. Unfortunately for me, my career is, in the last 15 years, has really flourished from being a producer and a writer and playing in Vegas. I did over 2,000 shows there and produced 3 shows. And, I've been on Broadway. It's been a wonderful journey for me.
Which is a more exhausting schedule, doing Vegas or doing Broadway? Because I know you work almost equally hard, right?
On what you're doing. I mean, the show I did on Broadway in 94-5 with my brother Sean, called Blood Brothers, was probably the best experience I ever had professionally, because I got to work with him and Willie Russell, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning, Oscar winning writer, wrote it, and I got to work with
some
of the best actors I've ever worked with, including some of the best singers as well. But
did you say that Sean is the one that gave you the nickname for
Donk? Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you back on Donk again?
Well, I'm just wondering. I know you guys were close brothers, but how does that happen?
Sorry,
that your brother gives
gives
a nickname, but he gave you
the world. When you're kids, you're growing up and you're hanging out, and I'm sure you had a few nicknames.
But was the nickname for you, or was the nickname for your genitals?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, see, I don't know
where you got that idea.
Well, from your book.
That is absolutely not true.
I'm
into horses. I've been breeding horses for a long time, which is why it's donkey.
We're dancing around this. I so wish that we could get to that.
You are hung like a donkey.
Have you heard about my new CD that's out there?
Your brothers call you Donk because of your massive...
Hey, guys, honest to God,
yes.
I would love to hang and chat with you some more, and I mean this sincerely. I love the fact that you played it, and I want to thank you.
You're very welcome. We'd love
it. It's what I'm doing now, and I just got back. I played this last weekend.
Bye!
F you. I'd love to sit and listen to some more of your self-righteous crap about your career. God, could you be a little more defensive, please?
I'm sure he's very nice.
I'm sure he is, too.
There's a clip from the book right there, right? I mean, that's what you were reading.
Yes.
About
yes.
his size.
Yeah. Yes.
His prowess.
Whole big thing. He wrote about it. I didn't.
It was very uptight from the beginning. It was difficult. Very difficult when somebody wants to completely control the interview. You know, we just want you to relax and chat with us. We,
play
you know,
his songs.
Play his song. Talk about the Partridge Family. You know, talk about your prowess. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, thank goodness we didn't bring up his dad. Jack Cassidy! I called Rob over the weekend. This is so...
Gay.
Thank God, he wasn't there.
Gay.
I just left a message and said, Rob, are you there? Hello? Channel 312, Hallmark Channel. Right now, Columbo. Jack Cassidy is playing the amazing Svengali.
Hello there, Columbo. See if you can pin it on me. I wasn't there. I've got an airtight alibi, Columbo.
Who are you?
I'm Jack Cassidy. With my cigarette lighter.
I'm bisexual, you know.
Excuse me, not cigarette lighter. I should say cigarette holder.
Yes.
Jack Cassidy.
And that's gone.
It was
a lot more relaxed with him the last time he was on the show.
Yeah.
I guess he thinks we're going to be all over something. Yes. I don't
also,
know.
You know, here's the thing I don't get. I mean, they've sent out press on his book as well as his album.
She wrote.
Here's another excerpt from his book. David Cassidy writes about touring with his father, singer Jack Cassidy, in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
One night, David introduced the Donk to one of the girls from the show, and then found out later that the same...
David evening, introduced the Donk? I thought David was the Donk.
Exactly.
He introduced
the Donk, okay.
To a girl from the show and found out that she'd been sleeping with his dad 3 hours before.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
The Cassidy prowess.
It's a good story.
Well, hell, I wanted to hear a little bit about that.
Love to hear about that.
What bug climbed up David Cassidy's butt today?
I have no idea.
No.
Didn't like that subject matter, but it's in his book. It's in the press release.
Couldn't end well.
Okay.
It's a shame.
Good
it's
luck.
A shame, Columbo.
I hope that CD doesn't end up on fire, David.
Fire.
Yeah,
sitting in the easy chair, lit on fire.
I'm melting. David, it's your new CD.
I'm melting. It's melted to my stomach.
David.
Oh, dear.
David, your brother Sean has nicknamed your penis.
Sean, bring down the donk.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Well, it sounds like he named it, too.
Uh-huh.
It sounded like he called it the donk.
I think
I'll introduce the donk. Uh-huh.
Dancing all around it with us. You know, it's okay to write a book for the UK, but you come on a radio show, you know, and you think we're still doing a morning show.
Well, the book's going to be released here, too, right?
Well, according to the 1,000 names that he dropped, like he was giving an Oscar speech, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Okay. Well, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Showbiz.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I can't speak Don and Mike.
Nah. I don't know.
Nah, yeah, what do you want? Nah.
What?
I want to tell him David Cassidy's an ass.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Obvious. Please turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down after we hang up on you.
All right.
Hi there. Hi, Don and Mike Show. What the hell is this?
It's turned radio up way too loud club.
Hello.
Hello, the radio is off.
No, it wasn't, but hi, you're on the air.
Don, you want to play with his donkey on, Don. You're coming out of the closet. You and Ryan are coming out of the closet, Don. You heterosexual, bisexual, under the closet.
That's right.
Closet.
I was trying to get into that with him when I said that his brother nicknamed his thing. I was going to mention.
I know you're
going to
go down the same road of
my whole thing with my brother.
And you were not only open about it, you initiated the discussion last week. The discussion of, you know, the moment, as
brothers,
it'll be referred to.
James Philip Donk.
The moment. did Jimmy ever refer to you as Donk?
No. No.
He never referred to it ever, did he?
Never mentioned it again.
It was never mentioned.
No. And for a change, he did not take my calls this weekend.
It was never spoken of again.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I think he was just busy, Buzz. I think he was out with one of his many... remote-controlled robots or remote-controlled airplanes.
Is it hunting season?
It's always hunting season.
It is.
Don't need a license. Your name is Jim.
You can always find something to kill.
Howdy, Don and Mike Show.
It's you.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yes, hi, Ted.
Hey, I want to know, Don, you showed great restraint on hanging up on that pompous ass 5 minutes in the
Now. I mean, it was he was uptight. You know, I don't
he
know.
Wasn't, he was an ass, and you're right. I did show great restraint, and so did Mike. I want
to
say
we were just trying to get him to. He didn't seem to want to relax from the from the very beginning. At one point I asked you to play a cut on the CD, and I said, "Play that one," and he said, "Okay."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he was totally into controlling this the whole interview. I'm not sure what the deal was. You know, we have proven on this show. The best example is Natalie Cole, who came on the show one time, was completely charming. We had a great time. And the next time came on and was one word answers.
What a bitch.
Wanted to get out of there and was horrible. And it happens. You know, everybody has bad days, good days.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
He pulled the same thing in Sacramento on an interview like 2 years ago. He didn't like the question. He just ejected because defensive. He ran and hid.
Yeah, well, he was very defensive. I don't know why a man with such a large penis would be so defensive.
Sure, relax.
I mean, he was swinging that thing around in front of Gina Lola Brigida, for God's sake.
Don't you think it's something you should be proud of?
Or as she was referred to on the Flintstones, Gina Lola Bricks.
Hello. And I'm trying to think. I mean, in her day, she was
a piece of ass.
She was a hottie.
She was like a contender in the Sophia Loren class.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, you guys are gay for watching American Idol. Kobe.
Gay.
Yes, we are.
We all just get along?
American Idol.
Playing. The percentages.
Here we go. I want you to play the percentages right now with me on American Idol.
All right.
You got to lay it down. What are the odds that the little brown Donny Osmond boy is voted off tonight? I would love to say it's 100%.
No
but
way.
But this is why America is so great with this show, with Retarded Idol.
Uh-huh.
I do believe the percentage that he is voted off is only 6 in 10. I would give it 60%. Mike.
I'm going to go less than that.
The percentages.
I'm going to say 40%. I think that they're going to vote off one of the women tonight.
Robbie.
Playing the percentages.
100% guarantee he cruises through.
Yeah.
And he doesn't deserve it.
Yep.
But he will cruise through.
No, he doesn't deserve it, but it's just that look. It's visual, and that's what people respond to at this stage in the competition.
It was great seeing him sing that song, and his feet never touched the floor.
They all forgot the words last night.
Yeah, wow.
This is also the stage in the competition for anybody that's watched the show for a number of years where America can screw up big time because you take for granted the people that are great,
right.
Like the Melindas and the Kikis of this world, that they'll actually, you know, you assume they're going to get voted for, and I just hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, I think that Sanjaya is definitely going to go through.
It should be 100% that little kid could vote it off tonight. I'll put it at 6 out of 10.
Playing the percentages.
Don't even ask me who's going to get voted off because I don't have a freaking clue. They all stunk last night, and the producers stink. Here's the deal. If you have Diana Ross, who incidentally should crawl back into her coffin, if you have Diana Ross there and the body of
work. I didn't know you felt that way about Diana Ross.
Oh, my God. I mean, really, did you get it? You know, High Def is not made for Diana Ross.
All I know is that any.
Did you get a good look at her?
Is it any surprise that with the content between Ryan Seacrest and Simon, is it any secret that the song I'm Coming Out was not featured last night by any of the performers? Do you think that's strange? Don't you think that's a little odd?
No. No, I don't have anything. That whole little exchange between Simon and.
It was delightful.
Seacrest, it disappointed me because. I saw that all they're doing is just, they're playing with us. Like, we are the yarn, and they're the cat. It's like, oh, we're going to do our gay thing back and forth. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, we're fooling all these morons watching. Ha, ha.
But Perez Hilton.
You're gay.
Perez Hilton has a great picture on his website of Ryan C. And all it is Ryan Seacrest walking out of a grocery store with a guy who looks like a male model. And Ryan Seacrest has this baseball cap on that's got kind of a floral print. And he's on the phone, and he's walking seriously like he's a runway model. And it's just a very gay looking picture, but it's
gay.
In combination, you know, with everything, you never know. You never know what's going on.
Gay. Funny, that's funny. How's your friend Ann Coulter and the faggot word? What are you making at?
Larry.
Gay. But you got Diana Ross there,
yes.
And you have all of those songs, Diana Ross and the Supremes, mm-hmm. Diana Ross. First off, nobody did Touch Me in the Morning.
Right.
Nobody did
Baby Love.
Stop in the Name of Love. Mm-hmm. Nobody did Baby Love. Nobody did Reflections. Nobody did Coming in and Out of Love.
It's incredible how the crap songs they picked.
And maybe the greatest Diana Ross song ever. And, you know, a-holes are like being subjective. Everybody's got one. Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Mm-hmm.
They give it to the little brown boy to sing, who absolutely punts it.
Wow.
Now, the producers, you got to think if you're going through those songs, don't you say to the little brown boy, that's maybe her best song. Let's give that to to Kiki, or give that to Melinda Doolittle.
Right.
Who, incidentally, I finally aced what it is about her physically that makes me so attracted to her.
Really?
What's that?
She has a big midget face and no neck. If she
you
had,
mean you just picked up on that?
Well, no. I had been looking at it.
What turns you on about her.
Yes, absolutely. I had identified her from day one as a Ferengi lookalike.
Mm-hmm.
Because like from Star Trek, I thought it was the bad teeth.
Right.
As it turns out, her mouth's okay. It's just that face is so big and
long. She's got an enormous head.
And there is no neck.
None.
Absolutely zero.
Well, I think she's got a neck, but the face is so large it obscures the neck.
That bodes well for her because big stars usually have big heads.
That's right, and she's got a huge head.
So you're doing this show with the entire history of Diana Ross and the Supremes, and you come up with a song that was done by Billie Holiday and Lady Sings the Blues, and all right, maybe that was all right for the fat chick because that was in her range, but then it's like one of the guys comes out and sings that song, The Boss,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell was he thinking? Here's a behind-the-scenes question about American Idol. I believe this. I believe they are given a catalog of all the songs that they're allowed to sing, and they pick it. And I don't think they get any help. I really don't think they get any help because they always say to them it's about song choice, and they're whenever you see them
then
singing.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm gonna stop you. This is a discussion I was having with Janet last night. Have you ever seen that show where more than one person has done the same song?
No.
For instance, like...
From season to season.
Well, they know Mountain High Enough. How come the little brown boy couldn't do it? And they'd say, and also doing the song, here is Lakeisha.
I think that the way it works is probably by, you know, a lottery system.
First dibs.
Yeah, I think they do it that way, and then whatever's left over. But what astonishes me, you're getting to the age now with these contestants where I would say, 80% of the contestants in that don't have a real strong memories of Diana Ross. She hasn't been on the radio that much.
True.
I mean, you've got them. They're looking at that song category and they said, oh, this. Let me hear this one. That sounds nice. They're not aware of Ain't No Mountain High. They might not even be aware of that song. They're
right.
Certainly not going to be aware of Baby Love. And they so they go in there and, you know, the older
but
demos.
The boss?
Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah, da, 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 da. Who is the boss?
They don't know. They have no idea. And it'll be the same way until they start getting slightly more contemporary artists involved in this. And even then, this is the whole state of music the way it is right now with the lack of superstars that we have. We really don't have as many as we used to. During Diana Ross's era, when she was a solo artist, How many superstars?
God damn, I got an itch.
It's all right. Scratch it.
I'm just being very rude.
No, it's quite all right.
Right on the top of my head, like bad dandruff.
Oh, no flakes.
I'm sorry I had something in there. I'm
was
sorry,
that boring you?
What was it?
No, not at all. I did not mean.
He's kidding.
No, I didn't want to offend you by focusing on whatever gnat it was that was stuck in my receding hair.
What were you going to say that you were saying to Janet?
I don't know. God damn, my head really itch.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck on the fact that I had a bad itch in my head. I'm sorry. I just stopped the show.
I apologize. I don't even remember what I was saying.
I apologize.
I don't know what I was saying.
I had heard that.
No musical superstars anymore.
Yeah.
Right. No new
right.
ones.
Yeah, maybe it's time for some port sitting. How would you feel about port sitting? Now.
All I know is I'm waiting for you to say something like go off on a tangent so I can stick my finger up my nose. That's the joke I'm waiting to do right now. I'm waiting for you to do that. Man,
oh, for
I
me
got,
to go off?
Got, yeah, it's for you to like start something that you want to talk about.
I would
so
like
I can...
to pontificate about how.
Hey, man, this is really a boulder I got in my right nostril here.
Like, I apologize.
What do you have on your head?
I pulled something out.
I mean, I don't
like
know.
An ingrown. I don't want to see it.
It's on the floor now. It was
ingrown hair.
It was a gnat or something.
Do you not agree, though, there's a lack of superstars nowadays?
Yes.
And I think the people that are saying they don't have points of reference on it. So that's why they pick crappy songs. That's what it is.
Well, then they should try to rig it enough that they say to them, listen, maybe you don't want to choose this song called The Boss. Right. There's a little something called Stop in the Name of Love.
You walk up to your average 25-year-old on the street. You say, give me 10, well, give me 5. Diana Ross hits.
Yeah, they'd be hard pressed.
They ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
I understand.
Elton John, same thing. Billy Joel, same thing.
That's why you got to fix it.
Right. You mean you have to tell them what to sing?
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the competition.
Yeah, and by that I don't mean fix it, like make it better. I mean like rig it, like put the fix in.
Yeah, but don't you think that the good singers are going to rise to the top no matter what the song is?
No, no, and you've just proven the point by the fact that you gave a pretty strong rating. Do you think the little brown boy is safe?
He's safe because he does his hair like a chick.
Okay, then.
That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with the music.
Well, then maybe the singing doesn't matter.
At this stage of the game, I think a guy like that will get through on looks.
You could even argue a guy like Taylor Hicks proved that singing doesn't matter.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
I mean, does anybody really remember anything about Taylor Hicks outside of the fact that everybody wanted him to win because he was kind of a dork?
And it is the vote of the American people,
right.
So anything can happen. And that's you've gone off on a tangent saying that's what you love about the show.
Yeah.
The fact that a John Peter Lewis or a Taylor Hicks can get through.
That's why I would like to say, I'm as sure as Rob is, it was 100% that boy is safe. I'd like to say that I think he's safe because he's such an awful singer. But I think at some point they've got to say, really, even with all the people that forgot the words last night, that kid's the worst.
But the very fact that the voting is, you know, if you voted, you know what it would be, I think, a much better system to vote against people as opposed to for people.
Uh-huh.
I would be much more, wouldn't you?
Hey, you know,
I would vote.
Stop
if it was,
the presses. Mm-hmm. You'll notice I'm not scratching my head now.
Isn't that a good idea?
You just had
yep.
a brilliant thought. That way you don't have to worry about reminding people, vote for the ones you like. It's simply
vote for the ones you think suck.
Vote for the ones you hate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's the American way.
You turn it around and you say, Lakeisha, good news. You received the fewest amount of votes this week.
And it would I think it might guarantee that really the best people get to the final.
Uh-huh. More participation.
Yeah, because you'd say, oh, man, that was the worst.
Yeah.
I'm calling. You're much more hatred, much more powerful
more
than
motivating,
love.
Yeah.
Dog, you just had a yo moment.
Thank you very much.
Really
I know
did.
I was boring you with the other thing.
It didn't bore me. I swear to God, I just had an itch that wouldn't stop.
But I wasn't bringing it when I was talking about the artists of today when you get your flea bite.
But now
what happened was, what?
Now you've brought it.
I think, wouldn't you be moaning? I mean,
you
I
made
would,
it your own,
I would
Mike.
Even vote.
I'd call every week. I would call every week. Hey, he sucks. What is he like, still doing there?
I would even vote. Another reason that the brown boy is safe is right now at this rate, America is rewarding asexuality the way they did with what's his name? Kevin Covellas last year. Remember Chicken Little?
No, but
he made it to like the top six.
Rob is not the same thing.
Kevin Covellas,
not a good singer.
No, Kevin Covellas was a much better singer, and B had that kind of just like he was the nerd that everybody liked. That's
this
why they were voting
really
for.
Really cannot carry a note in a paper bag.
And the only reason he's getting through is because he is pretty. And I'm sure a lot of chicks are voting for him because he is like, oh, look at his hair. Look, he curled his hair this week. Oh, very good, Sanjaya, with your nice little smile. God, I hate the guy.
Wow.
I really do.
You
I really do.
Clearly.
Because he is so bad.
When he gets voted off, they should make him ride off the sun on a goat. Put him on a goat.
That seems fair.
There you go. Off with you.
Here's a video for you to look at that we've put together of your moments. Here's a burka. And here's a goat.
Get the frig out of here.
He stays. I think he stays tonight.
All right, we got a break. We'll be back. We may do some porch sitting when we come back.
Very good.
Now listen, here's the if we do this porch sitting, I don't know how funny anything on this show is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But what about this for a concept? That I feel like I'm pitching something to the network.
Pitch it away.
Okay.
What's the concept?
But we have to remain true to it. That if it's the porch time, that you and I are sitting out on the front porch, and for like 10 minutes, we won't necessarily worry about filling every second that we're speaking. If someone wants to hear what it is really like, what we would really be like just...
If you and I were sitting on a porch.
Chatting out on the front porch. Now,
if you want to, I mean, I think we if you're going to do this, we need to commit to it.
But that's what I'm asking you. I'll commit to it if you'll commit to it. If you'll commit to the fact that there's a very good chance it will drive away
mm-hmm.
a large percent of the people that are listening today. Because if we do it the right way,
uh-huh.
you know, if it's natural, you'll probably just hear a lot of cars driving by.
I checked last week. The check cleared from last week. So we're okay to do it today.
All right. Well, then let's try some ports.
Do you want to bring the whole gang out?
No, I just think it's...
Like we would normally... Because seriously, it would normally be like that. But they might feel... pressed to fill the time.
Yeah, and right. Don't you agree that when they're around us, they always want, I like speaking about them mm-hmm. when they're in the room,
right.
Don't they always want to perform to please us?
They do. I think when we're all together, they tend to perform more.
And
you really, and I, however, have known each other long enough.
No need to perform.
There is no need, unless there's something really funny.
And don't you think that they market this show when they go out on the street and try to sell commercials to advertise? They say, it's just two guys talking, like two guys in a living room or two guys at a bar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It goes.
Let's take 10 valuable minutes of airtime for some porch sitting.
Yeah, we'll just sit on the porch for 10 minutes. If there's something to talk about, we'll talk about it. If there's not, you're going to hear cars going by.
Because it's beautiful outside. What's the temperature right now, Buzz?
Still 76 degrees.
76, goddamn it. It's only the middle of March.
And I don't think it's raining.
No.
Notice I'm dropping my consonants, too.
As a matter of fact, the sun's come out, Mike.
Raining.
You do that when you're porch sitting.
When we're setting. When we're setting on the porch.
Set a spell.
You want to go set a spell?
Let's set a spell out on the porch and see if we can fill some time. And if we can't, well, we're sitting on the porch. That's the way. We're going to go out yonder front the radio station.
You want to go have a sit on the pike?
Oh, Buzz just got a picture of Gina Lollobrigida.
Just before we went to break, I wanted you to see David Cassidy's friend Gina.
Now, why would you not want to scream from the highest mountaintop?
Uh-huh.
And the way that I read these excerpts from his book, she deflowered him.
Cool. Really?
She was his first conquest. Imagine that.
Why didn't he just hang? I don't understand.
First piece of ass you get is Gina Lollobrigida.
She's got the tools for
it. I just said, why didn't he just hang? That was part of the problem.
I don't know about you, but my ass is ready for a sitting, huh?
Oh, man, let's get some country time lemonade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call her real name.
What's her real name?
Vagina.
Vagina Lollobrigida.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.